ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Described as Vidvan, which Prabhupada has translated as the supremely learned. The Vyasa is described to us, who is he described by? Well, ultimately Vyasa wrote this himself. Similarly, at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we have Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krita, which Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by the great sage named Vyasa. So it's not that Vyasa is puffed up, but it is the fact that he is an empowered incarnation of the Lord, and it's being established that it's not just some book made up by some person. Just like I was quoting yesterday, John Lennon with his theory of reality. But it is not meaningful, it is meaningless, because he is not an asana. And similarly, there are so many philosophers. You can't translate this into Russian, but for those of you who understand some English, you'll catch the joke. Prabhupada used to call them philosophers. Okay. All right. There are so many philosophers. Who are the famous philosophers in Russia? Russian philosophers?
Lenin.
Karl Marx. He's an adopted Russian. Martin died. He expected Germany and England to become communists. That's what it is. Lenin wrote so many books, dozens of books. Very unfortunate contribution to the world. Marx, he didn't write so much. That's Capital, what else? Some other book. Very unfortunate, the one. And there are so many philosophers. Rousseau, Sartre, David Hume, great atheists. So many. And even many writers, they don't directly espouse a philosophy, but they give so-called philosophical insights into the world. And thus, persons like Shakespeare and Tolstoy, their writings, even though fiction, are considered valuable contributions to human society by mundane intellectuals. And even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in discussing such mundane intellectuals, has acknowledged that they may have some insights into the nature of life. Which is true. Many of the sayings, proverbs in English, for instance, come from Shakespeare. A rose would smell as sweet by any other name, for instance.
I mean, you have to find that.
You have to make it poetic.
I don't know what it means.
A rose would smell as sweet by any other name. In other words, a rose is called a rose, but even if it was called something else, it would still smell just as sweet. In other words, the name is superficial. The name is superficial to the essence, to the actual. Alexander Pope, you have something very interesting. Again, this may be a little difficult to translate. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when once we practice to deceive. So these are interesting insights into human existence. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed that, yes, they have some insights into human existence, but they don't have an understanding of the absolute truth. So when Vyasadeva is described as Vidvan, literally means one who possesses knowledge, it doesn't mean that he's simply amassed huge amounts of knowledge within his brain. According to Vedic understanding, knowledge doesn't simply mean to amass huge amounts of information within the brain. But knowledge means to know the absolute truth and to realize it also. Shankaracharya has described Vyasadeva as Vishala Buddhi, one who is possessed of very great intelligence. So this intelligence, again, it doesn't simply mean the ability to analyze knowledge in various ways. But real intelligence means to understand, to see this world and understand the principle behind it. This is called buddhi yoga, or intelligence which is linked to the absolute truth. So that Vyasadeva is fully learned and realized has been described in the previous verses and in this verse also, that in his meditation he saw the absolute truth. Apashyat purusham purinam mayam chatadapashrayam. He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the material energy which is under his control. Full understanding of the absolute truth means to know the source of all energy. The absolute truth means to understand the source of all energy. As I was describing yesterday, absolute means that upon which everything else is dependent, but which is not itself dependent on anything else. So energies, they are dependent on the energetic source of energy. However, the energy and the energetic are inseparable. Shakti, shakti, mato, abheda. And therefore, they are, in one sense, non-different. So full cognizance of the Absolute Truth means to understand the source of all energies and the energies, how the Absolute Truth manifests those energies. So Vyasadeva saw in his meditation the Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, and he also saw his energies, specifically described here is the material energy, the effect of which is yaya samohito jiva atmanam triguna akam, that the living being, by the influence of this external energy, is bewildered, fully bewildered. And thus considers himself a product of the material energy. So, considering this situation, Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. He saw the Supreme Lord and he saw the part and parcel living entities. He saw that they were suffering due to ignorance of their constitutional position, due to ignorance of the fact that all this suffering can be immediately mitigated by taking up bhakti yoga. People don't know. Therefore, the Asakampara Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the, here is described as Satya Samhita. There is that Vedic literature which is in relation with the Supreme Truth. Satya also means the devotees. The Bhagavatam is also described as Paramahamsa Samhita, that Vedic literature which is especially appreciated by topmost pure devotees. Because although other Vedic literatures indirectly indicate the path back to Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam directly and clearly delineates that we must take up devotional service. We need to take up devotional service. We find in other Vedic literatures so many different kinds of recommendations. For instance, in the Shanti Parva of Mahabharata, Bhishmadeva describes dharma, or worldly duties, to Maharaj Yudhishthira. And there is a long section on charity, the giving of charity, and the benefits of giving different kinds of charity, such as anadan, giving food, bhudan, giving land, godan, giving cows, vidyadan, giving knowledge. So in each section it describes the benefits of giving you different kinds of charity. And in each section it says that this is the best form of charity, there's nothing in comparison to this. So in this way various pious activities are described. And throughout the Vedic literatures, various kinds of religious duties are described, which led the sages at Nayasharanya to inquire from Sukha Goswami that what actually is the topmost of all religions. to which it was Surya Goswami explained unequivocally. Savayatam sam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adho shaje ahaito kyapati yataya yatma sutasu bhuti. So here he says the same thing is being stated. Anato pasamam saksha bhakti yogam adho shaje. The material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. The same words, bhakti to adhokshaja, devotional service to the transcendent one. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual facts of existence are very clearly explained. And by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, one can come to know of his real nature and his relationship with the Supreme Lord. And it takes, the Srimad Bhagavatam takes the student from the position of philosophically understanding the Supreme Lord right into the pastimes of the Lord. And this, for this reason, Srimad Bhagavatam is sometimes described as being more advanced study than that of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives a synopsis of all spiritual philosophy. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, that philosophy is explained in more detail. But also, it describes Krishna and his pastimes in various incarnations in detail. Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana, always think of him. And Arjuna asks, you see, this verse comes up at the end of the ninth chapter. Krishna says to Arjuna, always think of him. And at the beginning of the 10th chapter, Arjuna asks Krishna, well, how should we think of him? So in response, Krishna gives various indications of his manifestations within material nature. Mridanam charmagendro hum, among the animals, I am the king of the animals, the lion. Stavaranam himalaya, I am the immovable objects, I am the Himalaya. Meru Shikari Namaham, among mountains, I am Meru. You may ask how Meru is given, and also Himalaya. Himalayas are mentioned as among the immovable objects. Meru is mentioned among mountains, but because Meru is movable, Meru mountains sometimes move. So anyway, in this way, Krishna describes how he can be seen as represented within this material creation. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual pastimes, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are described. Here is described bhakti yoga adho shaje, devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Arjuna asks Krishna, how can we see you within this world? But in other words, how in our present material situation, how can we begin to see you and understand you? But beyond seeing Krishna through the material manifestation, there is seeing him in his own original spiritual position. That cannot be seen or understood by persons in material consciousness. Adhokshaja means that which is transcendental. Literally means that which is not perceivable by ordinary mundane eyes. So one cannot see Krishna and his pastimes with ordinary material vision. But when the vision is purified by bhakti yoga, by devotional service, then one can see Krishna. As Prabhupada used to say, that by practicing Krishna consciousness, the day will come when we will see Krishna face to face. And that is the gift of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the gift of Vyasa Ling. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur stated that if all the literature in the world, including the Vedic literature, was somehow destroyed, but the Bhagavatam remained, there would be no great loss to the world. Bhaktivinoda. And in many ways, actually, it might be better. It would be less to get confused with. Just like sometimes my disciples write to me, I read this book and that book and now I'm confused. And don't read it. Don't read so many books. The whole Shastra, not what it is. The whole Ramta, not what it is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Don't read many books. Prabhupada said in our Krishna conscious movement, four books are sufficient. What are those books? Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nature of devotion. So, very utilitarian. There's so many people with so many different opinions. Then you take the absolute truth presented by the perfect Mahabharata, Srila Prabhupada. Don't get confused by reading so many different theories by these glowworms. When you have the sun of realized knowledge, then why you want to take light from a glowworm? Even the books, they may be very good books, but you may not be able to understand it. Just like the food may be very good, solid food, but if you don't have sufficient digestive power, it will be poison to you. If you have good digestive power, then food with containing a lot of ghee, that will nourish you. But if you don't, then that will make you sick. So Prabhupada also said that my disciples will write purports to my book. And there are many good books being written by followers of Srila Prabhupada, but I want that my disciples, before they start reading different books, they should ask me first. Then you ask me first, rather than after reading it, and you'll come all bewildered. And we should understand that even though there are many books being written, that Prabhupada's books, they are the basis of this movement and the law books of the Krishna conscious movement for the next 10,000 years. So especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the science of the absolute truth is elaborately delineated. Idam Bhagavatam nama Purana Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Vishuhi Nishraya Saya Lokasya Dhamyan Swastayanam Mahat. Actually, if you can get the translation, and I can give some kind of translation, but Prabhupada's translation is so wonderful. Right, let's read that.
Directly. You sure?
Let me look at this. Chapter 3, first canto. You can say it, yes. We'd like to read Prabhupada's translation because it's a very wonderful translation. Yes, verse 40 of chapter 3. There are many wonderful verses in the Bhagavatam describing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Three verses after this comes another important verse. Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Yana Devi Saha Kalo Nashta Drishamesha Kurara Koduno Vipaha. The glories of Srimad Bhagavatam are also described in the next verse that we'll read tomorrow. So take pleasure in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I visit so many Russian homes, and I see there are many books in many homes. That's when I came to know that Lenin has written so many books. And so I have actually two shelves full of big books. So many books. We recommend don't read these books. Read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and the teachings about it, the essence of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So read these books again and again and again. I'm stressing again and again and again. We must study these books. One other point which must be stressed as much as the need to study these books is to distribute these books. Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. And the acharyas, beginning with Sridhar Swami, gave their commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada, after consulting all the acharyas' commentaries, made his commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada's purpose fulfilled the meaning of the verse which we're reading today. Lokasya janato vidvans chakre sattvata samhitam. People in general do not know about Krishna or about devotional service. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is meant for Paramahamsas. But it's also written so wonderfully that even people who are not at all like Paramahamsas can start on the path to become Paramahamsas by by taking knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is also indicated in another verse of Bhagavatam, in which Narada was instructing Vyas to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. Tad-dāgisā-lodhan-kāda-vipta-vog-yasmin-pati-shlokam-abhadhava-tyapi-nānānyan-antasya-yashonkita-anyat-chindanti-jayanti-grinanti-sādhava. Here it is stated that the literature which glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a completely different kind of creation to mundane literature, which in the verse previous to this now is described as Bayasatirtham. It is a pilgrimage place for crows. Where do the crows like to congregate? Where there's all garbage and bad smells. So according to Narad Muni, who is an Acharya, all this Shakespeare, Tolstoy, Marx, they're all fit to be thrown in the garbage and the crows can come and peck it and then turn it into stew by digesting it. But Srimad Bhagavatam is a completely different kind of literature. We may think, well, this is a book and Das Kapital, that's also a book. They're both printed on paper, letters, ink. But Narad Muni says this is a completely different kind of creation. It is meant for creating a revolution in the misdirected life of a sinful population. Even though it may not be perfectly composed according to all grammatical rules, because it is meant for the glorification of the Supreme Lord, it is heard, recited, and accepted by saintly people. Now it's very interesting that here it is said, Janata Agha, which means the sinful public.
The sinful general population.
Because Srimad Bhagavatam is traditionally never recited among sinful people. It is recited amongst pious people. Who else would want to come to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam? Sinful people, they're not interested in Srimad Bhagavatam. So what does it mean that this Bhagavatam is meant to create a revolution in the sinful lives of the misdirected population? This specifically indicates Prabhupada's purpose and the distribution of them in the throughout the whole modern world. There is no other instance in history of the Srimad Bhagavatam being distributed among sinful people. Well, how is it that the sinful people will take Srimad Bhagavatam? That is only by the mercy of the devotee. The sinful people, they don't want Srimad Bhagavatam. If we go door to door with these books and ask people, please buy these books, they will ask, why? What is in the book? So if we reply that this book teaches you stop eating meat, stop drinking alcohol, stop having illicit sex, stop gambling, and dedicate your life to God who is blue, then they'll simply close their door. Nothing. The devotees, they're empowered by Krishna, and they become very expert in distributing these books, which people don't actually want. Or at least superficially people don't want these books. Although in their hearts, everyone is crying out for Krishna. In the 1970s, Prabhupada wrote a letter and said that people are hankering for these books. And devotees, they couldn't understand what Prabhupada meant because it was very difficult to distribute books. People, they didn't see that they wanted the book. But nowadays, we find that many people are very eager to take the book. I recently read a report, some of our devotees were on traveling Sankirtan on small towns in rural America. But these were places where devotees hadn't been for maybe 15 or 20 years or more. So what happened when they went into town, they started distributing books, then the word went around among the young people that the Hare Krishna books are here in town today. One person would tell another, I met a Krishna devotee and I got a book from him. Oh, where? Where is he? I must get a book also. So people were coming up to them, looking for them. Where are those books? There are so many stories. One devotee was just taking a little break, leaning against someone, because he's not standing up all day on the street. So he was leaning against someone's car with his books and his bag on his shoulder. And the owner of the car came out very angry because in America people are very attached to their cars. Extremely. Very angry and said, "What are you doing leaning on my car?" And then he noticed there were the books inside the devotee's bag. "What are those books?"
Yeah.
And he completely forgot that he was angry and looked at all the books and took off a selection. This is in America, not India. In the most materialistic country in the world, people are hankering for these books. So Bhagavatam says, Janataga Viplavo, this will create a revolution. These books will create a revolution
in
the sinful lives of a misdirected population. Viplava means revolution. So that's happening. After thousands, or at least 2,000 years of Western so-called civilization, in which people are simply eating meat, and they believe in Jesus or you burn in hell, the whole culture is changing. Culture is based on philosophical understanding. However shallow the philosophical understanding may be, such as the general understanding is eat, sleep, get some money, but it is some kind of philosophical understanding in which modern society exists. A few years ago I saw an article in the Sunday Telegraph. The Telegraph is the most conservative paper in Britain. It promotes conservative British traditions such as eating beef, drinking gin, and all those kinds of things. And they had a large article saying how after hundreds of years, just in the last few years, Britain's traditional eating habits have completely changed. And they particularly noted how people have stopped eating beef. The British are famous as beef eaters, and now suddenly are vegetarian. So we may wonder, what's that got to do with Krishna consciousness? Well, a few years ago, one of our devotees was attending a conference about vegetarianism in Britain. She was wearing a sari. She wasn't a speaker, she was just attending as a listener. And one of the speakers came up on stage, and the speaker, it was a professor, and she said, she noticed the devotee in the car and said, "Actually, you should come and speak." She said, "It's because of you people, you are one of the main reasons that now Britain is the fastest, has the fastest growing rate of vegetarians in the world." And the devotee was surprised. But actually, devotees, they were distributing these books and promoting these values before vegetarianism became popular and fashionable. I remember when I was a kid at school, I was becoming a vegetarian.
You were becoming.
Yeah, becoming a vegetarian. I mean, it was a little difficult, you know, situation at home. And a general response from most of my so-called friends, and "You're crazy." But now vegetarianism is fully accepted. All the airlines, they serve vegetarian and non-vegetarian meals. It's fully accepted part of modern society. But one of the, we can understand one of the major factors in this is because of the distribution of Prabhupada's books. Similarly, devotee, he was telling me, he was writing that he's distributing books in California, and he says everyone in California believes in karma. Even though they're grossly materialistic, they believe in karma. So when he gives the book and then he asks for a donation, and then he says, "What goes around comes around," which is a popular saying. It means, well, what goes around comes around. It means it's a kind of colloquial way of saying for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. So that induces people to give a donation because they believe in karma. And they're thinking, well, if I do something good, I give a donation to this monk, then in future I'll get good karma. So the point is that people believe in karma. It was practically one generation ago, anyone had heard of karma. How is that? It's because of Prabhupada's books. There's no other explanation. Of course, there have been a few famous movies in which karma has been, not exactly, well, there was one movie which talked about previous lives and this and that, but it's mentioned and it's like that. But even that the movies are showing this is only, where did they get the idea from? From that book. So these books are creating a revolution. And we are part of it if we take the trouble to be so. It's the same thing will happen in Russia. Already we see that many people, they like the devotees. Ishwar Prabhu was telling me, because last year we were doing Harinam in the bazaar, and Ishwar Prabhu was telling me that ever since then, actually our doing Harinam in the bazaar has caused him a lot of trouble. Whenever they go to the bazaar, the shopkeepers harass them. Why are you not coming with your high now? They like it. Of course, we see one or two people who they don't like it. But basically, people like, who is happy like devotees? So please don't do it only when I come. You must go out regularly on high now. Of course, when it gets below minus 20, then you can wait for the spring to come. Or if you're really staunch, you can go out even then. But now we see there are so many devotees in this area. If it goes on like this, then you'll have to rename Tata Stan. We call it Krishna Stan. Don't clap yet. There's a lot of work to do. It won't happen quickly unless the devotees go out and work hard and distribute the books and don't hide now. Preach to others. Now we have a nice house here for holding these programs. But we want to take over the city stadium and have our programs in there. There's thousands of people. It's possible, it can happen, it must happen. But you have to distribute these books. Prabhupada put so much stress on them. So see what you can do. Every one of you can do it. Hare Krishna Dasi, she used to do it. Old woman who couldn't even speak Russian was going in the apartments here in Chongli distributing Prabhupada's books in the winter. And even if people said, I don't have money, which in many cases was true, she would ask, when will you have money? And she would make a note, and on that day she would come back. Now you have to buy a book. So see what you can do. Not only, of course, many of you from other places also. But wherever you are, you see what you can do to help Krishna's mission. Especially try to take the knowledge in these books to all the people who are suffering because they don't know Krishna. And today again is Harinam in the bazaar. Again, you'll ask, you can have Kashish Prabhu get everyone organized for Harinam. All right, we'll finish that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.